to England to look for the traces of the Brethren movement. We saw a lot. We had one heavy feeling. The Lord in the past has used greatly these Brethren, including many aspects. John Wesley, or the Bethany, George Mueller, and the Brethren with them. And in Norwich, the Brethren there. The conditions today compared to the past are far inferior. That's one condition. And even the condition was very poor. When Christian Chen and I went there, the Brethren, the leader among them that came to us, mentioned something that caused us, our hearts to sink. And he said, this place has a lot of notoriety. And Gorbachev came to visit us, to England to visit. They came to this place. And after the Second World War, the Great Convention came to our place. Here we are to look for the evidence of the traces of the Lord's work here. But what we did see was the things that are totally disconnected to the Lord's work. So I mentioned to the brother that we workers thought we're bringing our brothers and sisters to walk this path together. We thought what we have received must be the same as what the brethren had received in the past. But we don't know why the Lord allowed this to happen. We saw many people, many evidence of the things that the Lord did in the past, but they have fallen in disarray. So it caused our hearts to sink. And we wonder what happened. And this morning, Stephen mentioned we need to review what the Lord had shown us, how He gave us, how we need to follow Him. It is indeed true that we need to be renewed. Not only the workers need to be renewed, also brothers and sisters in the church. We also need to have a renewal. Otherwise, gradually, we walk slowly to the extent we also came to nothing. We also went to the Moravia to see the Moravian Brethren. They also had a very poor condition. I just fellowshipped this feeling to echo Brother Stephen's call for a review, a reconsideration. We do need to come before the Lord to reconsider. John chapter 6, I mention again. What do we do the work of the Lord? Jesus answered, to believe in the one whom the Lord sent. This is to do the Lord's work. I read this passage many years ago, but I don't understand. Even up to now, I still don't understand. All I need to believe in the Lord, I can stay home. Then why should I meet and preach the gospel and come to the meeting and do cleaning and many other things? This is one. And also in chapter 14, John 14. You need to believe, even don't believe me, believe the one that I sent. What I think that I do, those who believe me should also do. He has taught people, He has healed, He has driven demons out. What kind of work do I do? Secondly, the materials for building of the church. The materials for building of the church. In other words, to have word to distribute to the saints. In the animal kingdom, wherever there is grass, the animals will gather for feeding. I feel many brothers and sisters here are those who serve on the pulpit. We want to buy materials in the Bible so that the brothers and sisters can have feeding. I don't feel like I qualify to answer this question. Personal understanding is this. If it's incorrect, please correct me. The Lord said we can do greater work than He. When the Lord was on the earth, He was incarnated. He was only one person. As far as the Lord Jesus' physical capability, what He could do was limited. But after He was crucified and resurrected, the greater work points to the work done by His body. In the body, the personal character in life can be expanded. And this may be the greater work referred to. I feel, brother, second question. In actuality, this morning, Stephen has answered that in his message. He mentioned it. Maybe I repeat it again. Our brother mentioned in order for the church to be built, not only just to do the work of expounding of the scriptures or to preach the gospel or bring men so that they could grow in the body and to learn what the mystics had done. More importantly, bring them to the Lord. For the children of God to be established, it is for the Lord to be abundant and richer in a corporate way. I just mentioned what our brother mentioned this morning. The first question, to believe the work of the Lord, to believe in the one whom the Lord has sent, that is to do the work of the Lord. This is the Chinese translation. If you look at the English translation, it doesn't have the word to do. In other words, this is God's work. In other words, what we pay attention to is to do something, to do a work. What do we do in order to do God's work? What God pays attention is to show us that we are not able to do altogether. It is God who is doing. So don't think that today we are there after we believe in the one whom the Lord sent so that we can do something. If that's the case, then it would seem that even our believing in the Lord is something that we can do. So we must be clear about this. We're altogether unable to do anything in God's work. God's work, only God Himself can do. Our believing is God's work. Because of our believing in Him, He works in us. And then, what He has accomplished would be done from within us again. So it is still God working, not we. So concerning this point, in concept, we need to be corrected. Our concept is to do something. Whenever you mention work, that is to do something. We do something. But Scripture shows us clearly, God's work only God can do. We are unable to do. The second point I would mention again. Why did the Lord say, what I do, you will do also and do even greater work? Because I go to the Father. When our Lord was on the earth, He not only was individual, and He was doing a work of preparation, a foundational work. Without Him doing the foundational work, it's impossible for us to build on top of that. But when He goes to the Father, He becomes our great high priest. He pours forth the Holy Spirit who indwells us. In this way, we can see that we can do greater work. I'd like to echo Brother Sharon. Brother Wong, I think if the brothers have a desire, a longing to go to England to look for the traces of the Lord's work in the past, it is commendable, but at the end they were disappointed. This is also the same problem that we're facing today. I think we all know spiritual things has no second generation. We all should be the first generation. In the past, in Europe, they were brethren. It seems as though they have not left any traces of the Lord's work. But the unseen influence continue to influence the other generations. Many times we would like to be able to see a physical evidence. But concerning this, we should have an understanding that we don't need to do that. For the Lord has done a work through the John Wesley Mueller and Moravian brethren. The effect of their work is continued today. But it does not stay with the original people in the original place. Even we have accepted the influence that they left behind. But their original group seems to have disappeared. Today, we face the same problem. I think many brothers are elderly. They were... What happened here? We were walking in front of the Lord. It is something's wrong with the tape. We need to understand this is the weakness of man. Maybe the Lord will not use a physical evidence for men, for following generations to see, but we absolutely believe God's word in the generations in the past. They cannot be destroyed. This is my response. At the same time, we all need to be watchful. When we do a work, we are not looking for our own second generation. We expect the young people whom we serve will become first generation before the Lord. God in every generation would do His proper work. Today we're heading towards 21st century. What the Lord did in the 18th century, we cannot copy. In 21st century, the Lord has His own work. These are the things that the young people today should appreciate. We can only do what the Lord committed to us today. We cannot be responsible for coming history. May the Lord be merciful. What we did would last for a long time, but they may not be evidential for people to see. There's a question turned in on paper. If I live in an English-speaking world,
or Bible teaching to the Chinese, 或者说是对于中国人有一些的教导. And my burden is the church as the testimony of the body of Christ. 那么呢，事实上呢， 我的负担是看见教会呢是 基督的身体的见证. What shall I do? 那我应该怎么办呢？ 他这个问题是问这个江所到底是什么。
This question was directed to Brother Stephen. I think this question stems from the inability to distinguish between relationship between church and work, and mixed up the church with the work. In other words, the existence of the church is for the work. He hasn't seen that for the work to exist is altogether for the church. Therefore, he pays attention to the work of the gospel. But he hasn't seen. God's heart's desire is the church and not a certain type of work. If we live in that kind of situation, this shows us that there is a difference in vision. Some people have seen something before the Lord that is only the work. We cannot say that this work is wrong. There is a need for the work, and they are there faithfully to do such a work. But if that's all they do, then we will see that this kind of work falls short of God's eternal purpose. Even though we cannot say that it is not beneficial, it can help. But as far as God's eternal purpose is concerned, it falls way short of God's purpose. So for us today, we do need what Paul said, we need a heavenly vision. Without such a vision, without what Paul says, the heavenly vision, and our vision is merely contribute towards certain needs, then this is not the real building of the church. If brother or sister lives in such a condition, firstly, if the Lord shows him then on the one hand before the Lord he should pray hoping that the Lord will open the brother's eyes so that they would see God's perfect counsel so that they would not fall into the burden only for the Chinese immigrant. On the other hand, we also need to share with people concerning the church. If the Lord shows you something, then you need to teach and share with other brothers and sisters. This is not to say, since you have seen something and you share with others, they must listen to you. If they don't listen to you, then you get mad. That's not what we mean either. We still need to fellowship as much as we can. But the only one that can open our eyes for us to see is God Himself. Man cannot do anything at all. I remember Brother Sparks had told me personally, he said when God showed him God's eternal purpose, at that time he was a preacher in the Baptist denomination. So he began to share what the Lord showed him. And he fellowshiped. He fellowshiped for 1 year, only gained one brother. Only one brother was totally captured and was open. So we know the spiritual things only God Himself can do. The Holy Spirit can do. But if God shows us that, then we need to be faithful and be humble to fellowship with brothers and sisters. Don't feel that what we have seen are superior to others. If we have seen something, other people have also seen something. And if so, then before the Lord, we all can help each other. Of course, in our fellowship, we need to see that. Some people are open, some are closed. Some think what he has seen is all. And when you fellowship with him, he cannot accept you at all. And other people, if he is open, then you will see God's grace which come upon him. So a brother or sister lives in such a situation. I think, firstly, learn to be patient. Secondly, he should pray before the Lord so that the Holy Spirit can guide him as to whether how to walk the path ahead of him. Concerning the second point, I have some fellowship. As far as brothers sharing that there's no second generation in spiritual matters, my feeling is if we limit our eyes within a small group, we cannot force some people that they should follow the Lord. But what I have seen is and many God's children, they have a heart. For instance, formerly we were in Minnesota. We didn't have anything except that we have read some of Brother Nee's books, and later on went to Richmond. Therefore, a group of brothers and sisters rose up to fellowship. And even some of the older brothers and sisters, when they came among us, they discovered, how can you discover such a thing? Why are you willing to follow in this way? You must be the lily of the valley. So my feeling is, there are many brothers and sisters who are willing to follow the Lord. If we have a heart that brothers and sisters who have not touched this kind of precious messages, now we fellowship with them, we discover that many brothers and sisters would have such a heart. Right now we're in Baltimore. At first there were a group of brothers and sisters who are very simple and pure. Gradually we fellowship with them. Now a good number of brothers and sisters begin to seek after. So I believe the Lord's work continues. He continues to work. Many of things that we don't know, but they do have a heart. Once they hear such precious messages, they will follow. Secondly, I'd like to fellowship to continue what the brothers shared. Our environment is also matches the condition of that question. We live in the English world. I didn't raise that question, but our environment is just the same. That is, in our environment, basically speaking, are a group of new believers. There are some unbelievers. There are many visiting scholars from China, students from China. We preach the gospel and let them to believe the Lord, one after another. We help them to pursue the Lord and grow. But during the process, we had learned a lot. In the beginning, we read some of Brother Nee's books, things concerning God's eternal purpose. We were excited, and we talked about it. After we fellowship, brothers and sisters did not receive any help, and we were heavy. We were full of zealousness. Together we read Brother Spock's books, to no avail, because what we understood was limited. But gradually we discovered, when we ourselves understand a little bit more, what we fellowship was a little different from what we fellowship before. Formally, we talk about a lot of spiritual terminology, like a brokenness, cross, and so on and so forth. But those things didn't help. Gradually, we discover, if we understand a little bit more, we don't need those. But brothers and sisters receive more help. In fact, we didn't rush into these topics, but our hearts are there. So brothers and sisters were willing to be led. To an extent, we were ready to fellowship these topics. And brothers and sisters received more help. So my feeling is that the Lord continues to work. On the one hand, we need to be broadened, like many brothers and sisters, that they would have opportunities. Just like East Coast in Richmond, many new believers would go. And I often tell them, I hope that many who are like me, formerly, went to Richmond. We knew very little. And I hope there are many such brothers that would go, and one by one receive something. Many dear brothers and sisters from many places. If nobody stood up for Kaohsiung, it's not good. We are local brothers. Maybe many brothers know me, like Christian Chen in the past. My name is Pei Yuan. Maybe some know me. I lived for some time in the Philippines. Then I returned to Taiwan and spent most of my time in Kaohsiung. I feel the Lord has placed us in an environment that in the church for 40 some odd years, from 13 years of age up to now when I'm 60, I feel our Lord sometimes places us in a suffering and cause many, many changes in the church. In the beginning, we were sorrowful, could not sleep. We prayed before the Lord. We shed much tears. There are many such instances. I've seen many divisions of the church, whether here in the Philippines, in Taiwan, many places. Gradually, I feel our Lord is as a one who continues to work. He places us within many environments. Sometimes we're in a good condition environment on the green pastures and still waters. But sometimes we go through the shadow of the valley of death, or we're lonely, or we are sorrowful, having seen many conditions. I don't want to give you any examples, but we always feel the Lord is still there working, using all these many lawlessnesses, the things that come upon us, so that we will grow and mature, so that we will know the Lord, so that inwardly we will know how to walk and what to learn. So this morning, when Stephen shared, our Lord continues to work. He continues to work. And we are the work of His hand in the church, because the church is a pillar of base and truth. Not only the base, also the pillar. So when Paul told Timothy, if I delay, then you will know how to behave yourself in the church of God. The house is the church of the living God, the pillar of faith and truth. Praise the Lord. He often allows us to be in the environment so that we will learn. Many scriptures, because of these things, will be opened up to us. We will know what is patience, what is it to wait, what is it to go through sufferings. And we would know what is it to be patient for in the kingdom and to be in the glory, to have portion with brothers and sisters.
In the Old Testament, it says that when Moses built the tabernacle, he did it according to the pattern, everything exactly. Somebody want to? Okay. How in Numbers chapter 7, the leaders of Israel offered some carts, covered carts, and then those carts were accepted. And the Lord said, you can use these carts in service of the tabernacle. Are there some lessons in that that can help us related to this morning? That we not, I guess both positive and negative, that we not add anything of ourselves, but if the Lord desires to work in a specific way, we can respond.
Our brother's question was, in the Old Testament, Moses, Moses built the tabernacle according to the pattern on the mount. Numbers chapter 7, verse 5. Verse 3. When they brought their offerings before the Lord, 6 covered carts, 12 oxen, a cart for every 2 of the leaders, and an ox for each one. Then they presented them before the tabernacle. And our brother asked, why did he mention covered carts? That the covered carts are offered. I don't know about any brothers and sisters. If we do not know how to answer, then we ask Brother Stephen to answer. Stephen says, I don't know either, but I'll try. Maybe I'll try in this way, and brothers and sisters will have feeling. The matter of building of the tabernacle is altogether according to the pattern on the mount. It cannot be changed at all. Even down to a nail or a color cannot be changed. It is altogether according to the pattern on the mount. Of course, we know the tabernacle today represents God's church. So we believe that God would build His church upon the earth, His house. It does have a pattern, a heavenly pattern. Many times we thought in the Old Testament, when they built the tabernacle, God showed them the heavenly pattern. And today, when we build a church, the scripture didn't show us there is such a thing as a heavenly pattern. So we can build according to our own desire, according to what we believe to be true, or what we consider to be beautiful to do. And there's no pattern. So some people believe that since the scripture was silent concerning the building of the church without a pattern. In the first century, they had a pattern, but today we're in the 20th century. It's altogether impossible to base the building on the record of the Acts or even the epistles, the teaching of the epistles. We cannot base our building on these things because we're in the 20th century. We have advanced. So the building of the church, we can build according to our own will? I believe this is a great question. Also a And to us, it's a great challenge. It is a problem that needs to be solved. Thus God, in the New Testament, have a pattern, heavenly pattern, in the New Testament concerning His house, building of His house. If there's none, then today, then we can build according to and according to this dispensation. If there is, then we cannot be influenced by the time that we live in. We still need to return to the beginning, to the heavenly vision God gave us in the beginning. We cannot build carelessly. Neither can we change anything, even the small things, or think to try to improve something to match the 20th century. I think this is a basic thing we need to see before the Lord. It is absolutely not allowed. Personally speaking, my feeling is, I do believe in the New Testament there is a heavenly vision pattern. But we need to remember, in the Old Testament, when they built the tabernacle, God gave a detailed instruction to Moses in every little thing. Moses' faithfulness was that he did according to, exactly to God's command. Moses was faithful in God's house, points to this thing. For Moses to change a little bit was not possible. Today we're the stewards of God's the mystery of God. What is required of a steward is faithfulness. So today in the building of the church in the New Testament, it is something inward. Or put it the other way, in the Old Testament, the building, for instance, there is the outer court, there is a holy place, and the Holy of Holies, and there are many articles within. And all these things, in reality, typify Christ. So the pattern, the heavenly pattern today for the church is what? It is not what we find in the scripture that we should have elders and deacons. It is not these things, but we need to see that the heavenly pattern is Christ Himself. All our building is patterned after Christ Himself. Whatever is not of Christ Himself, it is not right. So it is not an outward things. Even though outwardly speaking, we do see in the scripture that there are elders and deacons of these things, all these things. But we still need to remember that the heavenly pattern is Christ. He is our pattern. So we must altogether pattern ourselves according to Christ. We cannot add anything outside of Christ, or delete anything outside of Christ, or change anything. It is totally not allowed. If it is not Christ, then it is not. In principle, we need to know this.
那么在旧约的时候,
then in the Old Testament, you also see,
虽然摩西,
even though Moses could not change anything that God had instructed on the mountain. But as Brother said, when this tabernacle was built, we saw all these leaders were there offering the covered carts. So what is that? These are methods. In terms of methods, you see that seems as though God allows us, according to the moving of the Holy Spirit within, according to the needs of the, at the time, we can offer up something. Why? Because the tabernacle is very heavy to carry it. It's rather heavy, very heavy. And those boards and those articles are heavy. So if God didn't tell them, instruct them, when they were to move the tabernacle, how they should move it, God didn't have a specific instruction. So it seems as though God gave to those who love Him to respond to Him, to know how to take care of these chores. God only said the ark must be borne on the shoulders of the priest. It cannot be carried on an ox-driven cart or any kind of carts. But aside from this, we see that all the other things, the boards, and the sockets, they're so heavy, how can they move them? God did not specifically instruct a way. So here we see those who love the Lord are willing to offer up to supply Christ. And we see that even same with David. Because David loved the Lord, he instituted 24 groups of singers and those who praise the Lord. So these things you would see were not required by the Lord, but it is a response from deep within of those who love the Lord for love's sake. They're there to do these things. These are methods. These are not the vision, these are the methods. So today in service, we need to see that what God has given us, the heavenly pattern, is we absolutely cannot add or delete. Just like the Word of God tells us, you cannot add to God's Word, you cannot take away from God's Word. But as far as the methods, you will see in different times, ages, if there are people who love the Lord for the sake of the accomplishment of God's eternal purpose, they can offer up something, some methods. You see the difference here. In each age and each different place, they are different. For instance, when we worship the Lord, the way to conduct the meeting. For instance, Oriental people are conservative. So in that those set of circumstances, our worship compared to, for instance, Africans,
their
way of worship, their methods, we shouldn't learn from each other or copy from each other. These are different expressions, different methods. These are not instructed by God, but they're given according to our background and culture and condition to express the heart, our heart of loving the Lord. If today people from Africa, the way they express their love for the Lord is to beat the drums and dance, if it is truly led by the Spirit of the Lord, praise the Lord, that's a method. But concerning God's worship, the principle is the same. If there is a group of people today worshiping the Lord quietly, even, for example, the Quakers, the way they gather, meet for an hour and then they go home. If their heart are toward the Lord, then that would be okay. It's just so you see the methods can be different. But the principle of the church should never be changed. In the heavenly pattern in the New Testament points to Christ himself.
Christ is eternal, so this pattern is eternal.
Since Christ is eternal, this pattern is eternal.
It's universal and eternal.
Today this is also universal and eternal. How can we make it clear? So the Lord can be manifested among us. So there is something that matches the Lord's heart's desire. How do we know what we do matches the Lord's heart's desire? How do we have the assurance or the approval from the Lord that this is something that matches the Lord's purpose? How do we know? I feel this is important, because if we don't know, then we do it in a foolish way. If we do it right, then we should have a feeling that this is something the Lord wants, so that the Lord can keep us to go forward. Otherwise, we should throw away. I don't know if you want Brother Stephen to repeat this morning's message. My feeling is, this morning Stephen's message, if you assign it a title, it should say Pattern on the Mount. So is there a certain specific point you want us to make clear? As far as the local testimony, we have worked for several years. We could do it in a wrong way. Many people do it even according to the word of the Lord, and they still do it wrong. How do we have assurance that we do the things in the right way, both outwardly and inwardly? What assurance is there for us to know that we are on the right track? Because I feel the Lord has a way, but we need to know, we need to be assured that this is the right way. Because the time is the lateness of the hour. We need to know what we do is matches the Lord's pattern and the Lord's desire. Concerning the brother's question, I'm not so clear. I can only share a little bit according to my understanding. We see in the New Testament the Lord brings us into reality. In the Old Testament, it is all typology. Because of the typology, is not the reality. But it's merely a typology. Today, Christ has come. So in Christ, we have already been brought into the reality. Have been brought into the real reality. So how do we know today that what we do today is that eternal reality, or what we do is Christ himself? What we do is the manifestation of the Lord's life. How do we know this? We see here that in the matter of the church, first, we need to have a clear vision. If we do not have a very clear vision, the Bible tells us, without vision, the people perish, or the people disperse. So the problem today is that many of God's children even many of those who serve the Lord are lacking of this heavenly vision. We haven't seen clearly the heavenly vision. If you're lacking this, of course, we can only do according to the little of what we have seen. Then we really do not have the assurance. So I think, first of all, we must have the heavenly vision. Really have a seeing within what the Lord is after today. As brother mentioned a while ago, it seems as though the first generation people have the vision, but it seems as though they cannot continue. From the vantage point of the history, it seems to be the case. Seems 30 years, 40 years, what God reveals after 30 or 40 years, it is lost. What the second generation continues and holds on to is merely an outer shell without an inward reality. In other words, outwardly, they can still hold on to an outward pattern, but the inward Christ, the reality of Christ, has been lost, and this is something very tragic. I often consider this problem. Should this be the case? Personally speaking, I'm not willing for this to be the case. I feel, even though history did show us that this has been the case, but it doesn't represent what God has ordained of his purpose. What's the reason? reason is the first generation, they have paid a great price to gain this vision. And the second generation only hear what the first generation hands down. It becomes a tradition, lacking the first-hand experience. At the same time, they're not paying a price. And they go on without paying a price. So you see, because of this, outwardly they continue, but inwardly they're not continuing. As Brother mentioned, we cannot become a second generation. Every generation must be the first generation. We must pursue the Lord before the Lord, willing to pay a price. We must see the brothers and sisters that had gone before us, what they have seen, we must see. Why did they see such things? If we truly pursue the vision that the first generation has seen, you will see that there is a price to be paid. Even though this price takes different forms, because the greatest price, the greatest price to be paid is our brokenness. This is the greatest price. So I believe this is one reason. There's another. That is pride. We thought we have everything. That is the way you decline from Philadelphia to Laodicea. The pride causes the second generation to not be able to continue. But I believe if we on the one hand maintain a heart of pursuing, willing to pay the price, we want to see what our brothers that gone before us have seen before the Lord. On the other hand, and we're not satisfied and pumped up by what we have seen and heard and we received from the first generation. Instead, we humble ourselves. I believe if we are humble, our God will not fail. So personally, I'm not willing. I cannot accept the verdict of history, because I feel the verdict of the history is not the Lord's will. And I believe we need to pay attention to this aspect. On the other hand, we are not perfect as soon as we see something. I often feel, such as Paul, having seen a heavenly vision, but on the way to Damascus, he only saw a broad outline. An outline. What he has seen is but an outline. He needed to spend his whole lifetime to continue before the Lord to maintain a humble spirit to receive an inward feeling little by little within. So he continues to say, not that I already attained, but I pursue after. That I may gain, lay hold of that by which I'm laid hold of. Today is the same. We need to see an outline. If we do not even have an outline, we do not have a direction. We do not have a way. We do not have a purpose. We must see. But it doesn't mean that once we have seen, then we see it all. The Lord continues to enlighten us, to reveal to us. So you will see that the church is progressive.
这个我们开始在一起的时候
when we began
给我们看见一点
the Lord showed us a little bit
什么是教会
what the church was
基督
what Christ was
是基督
church is Christ himself Christ being the head
是互相联络和肢体
we are members one of another we have seen this therefore we pursue after together it doesn't mean that we have been perfected in time if we maintain a heart of humility heart of obedience I believe the Lord continues He will continue to reveal to us and increase Himself more to us. As we receive more revelation, we cannot remain in the beginning stage. We need to continue to progress. So you see, this is something living. The building of the church is something living. It's not dead. It is not that today you have gained something, some revelations, and you consider that you have done well, and the church is complete. No, we see that this is something living. It continues to grow, until we attain the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. So I feel this is a great encouragement in our service to the Lord. If you forgive me, I'll testify of ourselves. In the beginning, when God began to show mercy to me, revealing to me the truth concerning the church, God show me that we should not be divided. That all God's children should be one. Today what God wants of us is the testimony of oneness. Because of having seen this, the Lord guided us. Yes. And therefore I left my former association with the denomination. I felt I needed to obey the Lord and stand on the ground of the testimony of oneness to serve Him. Because at that time what I saw was limited. Or I can put it this way. I believe the brothers that went before us have seen spiritual what they have seen of the spirituality was more compared to what I saw but a little bit I saw a lot of our things but what I have seen of the inward was a little so when we came out to serve the Lord what do? We did four things. We brought man to Christ. First thing we did was to baptize him. There was nothing wrong. We brought men to be baptized. Second thing, we brought them to break bread. This was not wrong either. The church life is breaking of bread. Third thing, we led the sisters to have a head covering. This wasn't wrong either. This was a teaching of the Bible. We led them to wear a head covering. Fourth thing, that is to sever relationship with denominations. Once you've done four, then the church appears. So we went all over the place preaching the gospel. After having preached the gospel, we did these four things. Thinking that this is how we built God's church. Would you say that is wrong? No, you can't say that's wrong. But After having done it for several years, I felt there was not a way. I felt this is the way to do it, and then there was no way. Is this all there is to it? Is this so-called building of the church? Praise God. Because of the Pacific War, I was brought to India. Us Shanghainese has a saying that if you fall into bad luck, you would fall into India. And my bad luck became my blessing. I truly went to India. India, I spent 2.5 months. I fully laid down my work. I can't say I didn't do any. I did do some work, went to Madras. But at that time, the Lord put me in a position of total quietness. When I quieted myself, truly at that time there was nothing for me to do. So aside from reading of the scripture daily, I read Brother Sparks' book, that's all. As I stilled myself, the Lord opened me inwardly. He revealed to me what we do, the work that we do and serve today is Christ Himself. If this is the case, Christ is unlimited. You will never work to an extent to exhaust yourself. This is exhaustless. If today we're here supplying Christ, if the church is the Christ, then I saw that it is not the outward things that we do. It is altogether inward. If we're not there supplying Christ, we have not even touched building of the church. We did baptize people. We helped them broke bread, helped the sisters wear hair covering, helped them sever relationship with denominations. Aside from that, we didn't build the church at all. All these outward things were due to the requirement of Christ within. It is not that outwardly we taught them something, added something extra. So I saw that we did those kind of work for several years until the extent that we were so tired, feeling that there's no way to go, but praise God. Once I saw that this is Christ, today we serve. Our service is supplying Christ. Church is nothing but Christ Himself. At that time, then inwardly I said, praise God. It is exhaustless. It is limitless. Our pursuing and knowledge of the Lord is limitless. Today, in our work, also is exhaustless. If we can pursue the Lord more, the Lord will gain more of His constitution within us. Then in service, we have a way. At the same time, the result of our service is so that the body of Christ can increase to attain the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. For instance, at this time, I felt inwardly that there is a way. Our service does have a way. So I feel that today, if what we have seen is merely external things, a day will come. There will not be a way left to go. You can have everything done hourly, correctly, scripturally, but there's no way. There's no way. We must see Christ Himself. If we have seen Christ, the church is the Christ. If we have seen work and service is supplying Christ, then, brothers and sisters, then our future is limitless. It's really limitless. So, a while ago, as Brother said, how do we know that what we do today matches God's purpose? First, that Christ's life in us will show us. Because if we obey the Holy Spirit, mindset on the spirit is life and death, life and peace. Life, mindset on the flesh is death. At the same time, because of our weaknesses, we thank God. We have outwardly God's word, the scriptures. Sometimes our inward feeling may not be correct, but God's word is here. They correct us, reprove us. So I believe, through the word of God, and through the illumination of the Holy Spirit inwardly, we can know whether or not we're walking on the path of the Lord. At the same time, it is not to say, today you walk on the path of the Lord, and you have arrived at the goal. We merely started to walk. We still need to persevere to pursue after, so that we truly would gain what God would gain in Christ of us. So praise and thank God, you see. All is living. Everything's living, not dead. In the past, I felt all I could say is what I had experienced, that in the past, many people, what they saw and received were external. The outward correctness, but lacking the content of Christ, the element of Christ. Therefore, when they come to the second generation, it declined. We thank God, as Brother said, God, because of His compassion, uses all kinds of difficulties and perils to befall us, and these are beneficial to us. When these kind of things befall us, it is a time when the Lord wants to bring us back to Christ, seeing that all these external things are not trustworthy, and He will bring us into Christ at the same time to bring us into the Word of God. We cannot go by what man says, even the ones that have gone before us. We cannot base on the teaching of the people before us. We must return to God's Word, to Christ. So thank and praise God. We encounter many different difficulties. But without these difficulties, we continue to do what we did, to continue what we do is far more fearful, far more terrible than the outward tearing down of the Lord. The outward tearing down is in fact much more blessed than the outward continuation of the wrong way. We have 20 minutes. So that's why recently Brother Sparks' writing helps me a great deal.
We cannot separate Christ from the Word. 基督跟神的话语不可以分开。
We cannot separate Christ from the Word. Christ is one with God's Word. Today our difficulty is we separate them. We want Christ, but we do not obey His Word. I believe this is a great danger today. Christ and the Word are one. I believe this is what Brother Stephen has shared. Life and God's Word are one. They cannot be separated. I'm helped by that. Also, but Stephen said, we cannot accept the way that has been. the status quo.
The
Sparks also said we should never accept the present condition as being normal, to be acceptable. But we need to stand on God's side to ask what God wants. And our problem is today we accept the present condition. The prophets never accepted their present condition. We need to have such a spirit to stand on God's side. A while ago, I wanted to share something. I share my feelings. When I was young, I was led that you must serve the Lord after you're saved. So I always ask brothers that went before us, have I been redeemed, regenerated? Can you tell me if I'm regenerated? I passed through a long period like that. I was there asking whether I was regenerated. Then on the Lord's Day, I would see the brothers who minister God's Word. And in the afternoon, I went into the meetings. I saw them working, running around in short pants. And then I asked the Lord, are these the so-called the church? And I thank the Lord that in 1983, in the conference in Hong Kong, as I was in a group meeting on the lawn, at that moment, as brothers and sisters were sharing, I entered into the scripture in Exodus where the burning bush. In that vision, I saw clearly, Lord, that we are nothing but the bush. As we join together, we go here and there. But today there is a bush that has been consumed, burned by the fire of the Lord. This is something used by the Lord. So Moses need to take off the sandals off of his feet. I thank the Lord that from that time I saw that we are nothing but the bush. And I saw that we only saw that, brother, your thorn had pricked me. But we haven't seen ourselves being also the bush being joined together. But today there's fire. There is the Word of God speaking that this is the holy ground. Take off the sandals from the seat, from the feet. This is something that comes out of the bush. When we come out of this, when the Word of God comes out of this, it passes through the thorns. He has been bruised to prove to us that we are used by Him. And we thank the Lord. Because He says, this is holy ground. I need to serve the Lord by taking off my sandals. For this, I thank the Lord that today we're nearly thorns. But God says this is holy ground, and there's fire issuing from this place. Thank God. It is not that we say who we are. And furthermore, this bush is not consumed. The Lord wants us to serve Him. Christ within is more precious. The more I've seen that, at the end I've seen, after several years, this bush is on the cross. When the Lord was nailed to the cross, His crown was made of these thorns. The Lord had uplifted us to such an extent. If we have seen that, we thank the Lord. For us to be together, our service, when we see that the Lord says this is the holy ground, we take off our feet, our sandals, the Lord comes out of us. We have seen that we have bruised the Lord in such a deep way. I think because of the shortage of time, a while ago when Stephen was sharing, I had a small question. I'd like to mention it. That is the understanding of spiritual things versus the revelation of the spiritual things. Is there a difference? Some brothers and sisters, after hearing, they thought they understand. Is that a seeing, a revelation? Many brothers and sisters have read many spiritual books. accumulated many, much knowledge. Inwardly, they have a question. Does this represent what I have seen? Or is this merely an understanding? I would like Stephen to answer that. Revelation is something from God. God reveals to us. When God reveals, our mind will be open. Our heart will be open. Then can we understand what the revelation is? If you take Ephesians chapter 1, the spirit of wisdom and revelation will be given to us so that we will fully know God's purpose. That the eyes of our heart will be open so that we fully know what is the hope of His calling in Christ. And you will see that this revelation comes from God. It is the Holy Spirit revealing to us. Revelation is revealed in our spirit. When this revelation enters our spirit, our spirit will have a seeing. Even when we have seen, we still do not fully understand. We can only say that there seems to have a feeling inwardly, but as to what it really is, we cannot utter it. Just like our salvation, when we were saved, we knew we were saved, but we cannot utter it. We cannot explain it. That is due to the fact our mind had not been opened. So when revelation comes to us, our heart, our mind still needed to be opened up. Then can we understand. This is not to say that this way you have fully gained. For us to gain a revelation is one thing, but this revelation needed to be turned into something. We need a cross. For a vision to be turned into a vocation, it has to go through the cross. So today, whether toward Christ or about the church or about the truth in the scripture, that vision has to become our living, has to become our reality through the work of Christ's cross. To understand something is altogether a different matter. When this revelation takes place in the spirit, for you to understand merely takes place in your mind. So you see that spiritual things has to begin from the spirit. We do not commence from our soul. The mind is a component of the soul. Your mind understands. But this understanding is not a revelation. Revelation takes place in the spirit. It's to see something in the spirit. Once you see something in the spirit, and then you understand. It takes a cross It goes through the cross and becomes my our living, our reality. So today, we understand much, but we lack revelation. Why so? Because the Lord said, God's purpose is revealed to babes and is hidden to the wise. Therefore, we must turn back to be childlike, and then we can have the revelation increased. In other words, there's no without revelation, we shouldn't do a work, right? Because all the work and service should be based upon the inward seeing and revelation. So if that's the case, without an assurance that we have a revelation and seeing, then should we lay down our work? Or should we dissolve the meetings that we have started? John Wesley. Came to America and worked and failed. He returned to England. He wasn't even saved. And he went among the Moravian brethren. And he asked them, I don't remember the name of the brother. Lance, do you remember his name?
John Wesley asked a brother in a Moravian in England. Peter Moore.
Well, in any case, he asked a brother. He said, I do not have the faith. I do not have the faith. Doesn't mean that I shouldn't preach now. Because you had been ordained as a minister. He had worked for many years. He said, today, I do not even have the faith, justification by faith. Then doesn't mean I shouldn't work anymore? And that brother answered him. He said, you must preach faith until you gain faith. I think our time is gone. Let's have the time of prayer. So let's have a few brothers and sisters pray according to the leading of the Holy Spirit.